From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will bring the conclusion of the second of two messages on the theme, Bearing the Unbearable Through Faith, part of this series of studies in Hebrews chapter 11. Many unnamed heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 chose cruel torture and martyrdom in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, it is the sight of the unchanging Christ that gives believers in this day the power to endure whatever God may see fit to bring into their lives, whether persecution or personal troubles. The Bible makes it very clear that the world continues to hate Christ and the people who are identified with Him. As Dr. Cairns has shown, the purpose of persecution is to stamp out God's people and to make Christians compromise with the world. Yet those Old Testament saints persisted in their faith in God because that faith gave them a perspective that saw beyond this world into the glories of eternity with Christ. The power of faith enabled those people to overcome their fears, to defeat the purpose of the enemy, and to keep close fellowship with the Lord in spite of their circumstances. This is how God's people enjoy such victory today, by the power of faith in Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of this message. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Genesis chapter 39, verse 12. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. In contending with certain sins, there remains no mode of victory but by flight. The ancient naturalists wrote much of basilisks, whose eyes fascinated their victims and rendered them easy victims. So the mere gaze of wickedness puts us in solemn danger. He who would be safe from acts of evil must haste away from the occasions of it. A covenant must be made with our eyes, not even to look upon the cause of temptation, for such sins only need a spark to begin with, and the blaze follows in an instant. Who would wantonly enter the leper's prison and sleep amid its horrible corruption? He only who desires to be leprous himself would thus court contagion. If the mariner knew how to avoid a storm, he would do anything rather than run the risk of weathering it. Cautious pilots have no desire to try how near the quicksand they can sail, or how often they may touch a rock without springing a leak. Their aim is to keep as nearly as possible in the midst of a safe channel. This day I may be exposed to great peril. Let me have the serpent's wisdom to keep out of it and avoid it. The wings of a dove may be of more use to me today than the jaws of a lion. It is true I may be an apparent loser by declining evil company, but I'd better leave my cloak than lose my character. It is not needful that I should be rich, but it is imperative upon me to be pure. No ties of friendship, no chains of beauty, no flashings of talent, no shafts of ridicule must turn me from the wise resolve to flee from sin. The devil I am to resist, and he will flee from me. But the lust of the flesh I must flee, or they will surely overcome me. O God of holiness, preserve thy Josephs, that Madam Bubble bewitch them not with her vile suggestions. May the horrible trinity of the world, the flesh, and the devil never overcome us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Never think for a moment that the vast majority of people who have suffered for Christ did so without trembling at some time with fear. Now, there have been examples of people who have been so zealous and they have been so elated, and many of them have had such a view of the world to come that they have courted death. There were people in the early centuries of the church, and it was the mark of their zeal that they actually were looking for martyrdom. I can admire their zeal, but I have to be honest, I think that it was foolish. I'm not instructed in the Bible to go looking for martyrdom. You'll get enough opposition in due time without going looking for it. But for the most part, that was not true of God's people. They were ordinary people. You remember the young woman I described to you last week? A mother's heart. When her newborn infant is taken away from her, and she's told, you can live, you're going to have this infant if you will deny Christ. And she goes to the arena to be brutally butchered through faith in Christ. A woman's heart is no less a mother's heart because she's a Christian. Yea, more so is it a mother's heart because she's a Christian. The pain was intense. I think of Archbishop Cranmer, that good and godly man, signed a revocation of his beliefs. He recanted because he was afraid to die. God did enter in to give him a recantation of his recantation and gave him the power to go willingly to the flame and first and foremost to put in that hand that signed the recantation and say, in effect, let it burn, for that was the instrument of my betrayal. Yes, there is a natural fear. We're afraid to suffer. We're afraid to fail. We're afraid to try. That's why so many Christians sit back, do nothing, say a lot but do nothing, think a lot but do nothing. That's why so many Christians have all the theories but none of the action. That's why so many Christians today are just shells of profession without very much substance of the real joyful power of the living Christ. Because of fear and because of themselves. But listen, and I want you to learn this. If you learn nothing else from what I say today, learn this. You can go around America and there are preachers by the thousand who have all the packaged little methods whereby you can begin to do this and do that and be better. And for a while it will seem to work and you'll be back where you are. It doesn't work. Ultimately, what is going to work is faith in Christ. You're saved by faith. You're kept by the power of God through faith. You will overcome by faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. And as your heart and your mind are fixed on Christ, and your whole soul goes out after Christ, as you understand who He is, what He's done, what you are in Him, what you have in Him, as the Holy Spirit of God takes the great truths of the gospel and makes them real to your heart, you not only have an assurance and a joy of your own eternal life and your acceptance in Christ, but you overcome yourself and you overcome your fear by faith in Christ. It enables you to overcome fear and self. It enables you to defeat the purpose of the enemy. That's the power of faith. I was thinking of this as I was looking at this text during the week, that individually these people were crushed. You look at the early church, isn't that what happened again and again? Individually they were crushed. It seemed a waste of a life. But collectively, they were triumphant. The martyrs were brutally killed, but the faith that they espoused finally triumphed. In the case of the early church, Roman paganism was overcome by the power of the gospel. A lot of social activists have wondered why the New Testament didn't take a stand on the social issues of the day. Why Paul didn't write about these things. Why he did write the way he did write. For instance, when he was writing to the Ephesians and when he was writing to Philemon. Why did he not there state a theological basis against the Roman practice of slavery? Why did he let it stand? Paul had more wit than his critics. And of course, he was inspired as well. That was a big help. Paul knew that for him to lead a political activist movement in Rome was to condemn the church to utter failure. But Paul equally knew for him to get that church on fire with a fearlessness of Rome, on fire to preach Christ throughout the empire, would do more to bring down and to redress the excesses of Roman government in every field than any political movement ever could do. And
he was right. When Rome fell, Christianity stood. You see, faith enables you to defeat the devil. The part that was played by the suffering saints in the triumph of the church over Rome should not be underestimated. Tertullian it was who first said, "The blood of the martyrs is seed." That has been translated now. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. No doubt that's what he meant. But he simply said, "The blood of the martyrs is seed." When Christians suffer through faith, whether it's through martyrdom or through illness or through persecution, when they're in a suffering, hurting world and they suffer through faith, when their darkness is lightened by the truth of God and their personal faith that accepts that truth and stands upon it, I tell you, those Christians being scattered, those Christians even dying, those Christians become seed. They're not wasted. Faith defeats the purpose of the enemy. The truth of God, far from being crushed, is spread. The believer, far from denying, is drawn closer. Because the last thing I'll point out is this, that the power of faith is seen in that it enables you to live in deep fellowship with the Lord despite your circumstances. You look at these people that we have read of. The presence of the Lord was very intimate. And you know, that's the key. That is the key. The presence of the Lord must be an intimate reality. There are far too many of us, I think indeed all of us, far too often live without a real intimate sense of the nearness of our God. Oh, we believe the words, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We believe the words. We have got the proposition in our head, and I have no doubt that the objective reality of Christ fulfilling his word is there, whether we feel it, recognize it, enjoy it or not. But yet for our own spiritual power, effectiveness, enjoyment and good, we ought to be able to recognize the intimate presence of God. The Lord is with his people. He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Therefore we may boldly say, "I will not fear what man shall do unto me." The presence of the Lord was intimate. They endured as seeing him who is invisible. The promise of the Lord was impregnable. And I use that word advisedly, because these people were under pressure to deny their God and to accept that his word was null and void. Now that's what the devil's out to do in your life and mine. To get us to the place where we give up hope and we say the promise is null and void. If we don't see it when we want it, when we expect it, under the circumstances that our imaginations would map out, then the promise is null and void. That's what the devil wants you to believe. But the promise of God was impregnable. They were going through dark days. I was just reading over and praying over the 18th Psalm this morning. And I was thinking of that great expression of the psalmist's faith. And he talked about his candle and how the Lord would light his candle. How the Lord would lighten his darkness. How that by his God he had run through a troop, and by his God he had leapt over a wall. I thought of the 30th Psalm and the 5th verse, where the psalmist says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." You see, that's God's promise. And it is impregnable. It may be assailed. It may be denied. You may even feel to live in the enjoyment of it. But though we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. God's promise is true.
He'll fulfill it. He'll bring us through.
When you realize that by faith, you can enjoy his presence. You can enjoy the strength of his promise. Then the prospects of glory will become immediate. You read these accounts, and you'll see that one thing must have been true of all those people. They were on earth, but to them, heaven was as real as the earth on which they stood. One great thing about suffering, one result of bearing and enduring a lot by faith, not suffering in itself. Suffering in itself never made anybody any better, any holier, any purer, any happier. Suffering in itself is a wearing result of the curse of sin. But endured by faith in Christ, one result that it yields is that it brings the world to come into very sharp focus. Very often when I visit people in hospital, especially unsaved people, as I read the scriptures with them, I point out that your suffering, your pain, your hospitalization reminds you that you are not here forever. That soon we all must go to meet our God. And every ache and every pain is a message from God. Prepare to meet your God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.